Right now it's time for Real News. It's time when Brian Ross and I get together. We take a look at the stories that are up front and real and right in front of us. Good morning, Brian.
Well, good morning, Marshall. What a day yesterday was, and what's going to happen the next, 13 days of this Trump administration?
It's one of those things. I very rarely do this, but I started off the show this morning with a 10 to 12 minute talk about what happened yesterday. You know, I sit here as a 68 year old progressive. I've been on the more progressive side of the liberal movement for my entire life. I've protested against the Vietnam War. I was one of those people that used to stand out on the Sharon Green. My mother even made me had a suede red, white, and blue jacket. She didn't want me to deface the flag, so she had a jacket made that was red, white, and blue that I could wear in the protests. I believe in protest. I think that protest and you being able to stand on a soapbox is part of the American experience. But when you really boil it down to the Capitol building, there's only two times it's been attacked and ransacked in our history. Once it was the British, and once now it was ourselves. It truly was a humiliating day for the United States of America yesterday.
Absolutely stunning. I've never seen anything quite like it, and you have to call it an insurrection. And you know what I keep saying to people, I was on the air yesterday on Sirius Radio talking about this, that you know the people who did this, they have been fed a pack of lies by the President of the United States, and you know, they are Americans who have come to believe that what Trump says is true. This has been reinforced, of course, by a compliant media, social media tweets, and they thought they were doing something patriotic. Clearly they weren't. It was insurrection. It was sedition. And also the question of how could it be that the Capitol Police let this happen?
Well, just imagine, and the first thing that crossed my mind, and I think crossed most minorities' mind, was could you imagine if a Black Lives protest, if that happened, with what the response would have been by the government?
Oh, of course. We saw what happened earlier this year, or last year, when the Black Lives were protesting in Washington. They had armed militia out. But if you're white and you do it, it's a different kettle of fish. Sad to say, but that's the fact. And I think a lot of questions have to be asked about where the Capitol Police failed to act. Did they not ask for help sooner? That they would lose control of the United States Capitol, that these people would be on the floor of the Senate and the House, sitting in the chair where the Vice President had been just an hour earlier. It is stunning. It was a dark day in America.
The picture that sent the shivers down my spine the most was the furniture put in front of the door, which entered the House, and four guards with their guns drawn pointed out at American citizens trying to bust in.
Right. Stunning. Stunning that it comes to this. This looks like something you'd see in some, you know, third world tin pot dictator's country.
You know, and like I said, there's a fine line. Some people on the internet, and I did get involved, said it was no different than the Black Lives Matter protest burning cities to the ground. And I said, wait a second, what cities were burnt to the ground? Yes, violence was had within protesters. Yes, people looted, people burned some buildings. But what you're looking at here is an attack on the fundamental operation of the United States that is put in writing by the Constitution, and to have American citizens who were urged on to march by the President of the United States
to fight, that is what his words were.
That's right. Fight to get your country back. It's just an astonishing moment in history. And, you know, it's a turning point, and it can go one place or the other. I mean, the comments that I heard from people that were leaving the scene saying, next time we'll bring our guns. And one commentator, and I do believe it was on CNN, I'm not sure the commentator, said the sad part about this isn't the end, this is the beginning.
Well, we'll see about that, and you know, now lots of calls that Trump should either be removed under the provisions of the 25th Amendment, or he should be impeached so that he can never run for office again.
All I can say is the rest of the world saw something yesterday that showed a huge weakness in America. And if you don't think that the Russians, the Iranians, the Chinese, anybody who wants us to fail, is not going to take advantage of that division that they saw yesterday, with Americans attacking not only Americans and not only legislators, but our Constitution. It just opened up a huge gaping wound that our enemies in the world are going to obviously try to take advantage of.
Well, but you know, hats off to members of Congress who came back, did their duty. It took until 3:30 early this morning to finally get it done when Vice President Pence announced that Joe Biden was the winner, will be the next president. You know, they were told to shelter in place, given gas masks. They didn't know what was going on. You know, we don't pay a lot of attention, really, oftentimes, to what happens in Congress. But I was glued to the TV last night watching the final speeches. And Lindsey Graham, who appeared to have maybe a couple of drinks before he took the floor there, was, in a way, that's it. It's over. I've had enough.
Well, that's the whole thing. Hopefully the country has had enough. And I'm not asking people to change their point of view. I'm not asking them not to support who they want to support. But just take some time to think and remember the difference between protest and criminal behavior. Remember that the difference between your right to speak your opinion and then your right to formulate and execute an attack on the government of the United States. You know, with all those cameras in the Capitol building, I hope the people that are identified are charged with sedition. I really think that we have to do something very strong so this never happens again.
Right. I would say let's forget the political charge. Let's just charge with basic, you know, breaking and entering, illegal trespass, destruction of federal government property. There are lots of ways. And one question I kept asking myself is, where are the arrests? The arrests were only 50 or 60 people. And there were thousands there who broke in, and I don't understand. I understand now the FBI is circulating photos of some of the people who took their own selfies, including a member of the West Virginia House of Representatives who made these videos of himself leading the charge, running into the Capitol.
It was just an amazing sight, and in everybody's lives, I think probably nowadays you're bombarded so much with social media that there's not, but in your life, my 68 years, I have moments that I will carry with me to my grave, and this has now been added to one of those. It is an assault on our Constitution, and. I didn't watch all the speeches because I have to get up early in the morning.
Of course.
But what I take from this is that this is the turning point that I think that I hope is what Lindsey Graham said and other people said. Yes. Enough is enough. We now must move on. We have to do things differently. You know what was obscured yesterday by all this on top of it was the election of the first black representative to the Senate out of Georgia in the United States, the election of a young Jewish Democratic senator in Georgia, couple that with the fact that Joe Biden carried Georgia. Those are stories that should have showed the United States for what it is a country that, yes, opportunity is limited, but you can take advantage of it, whether you're black, white, yellow, tan, it doesn't matter. And that was all overshadowed by the monstrosity that happened.
At least for the day. But I think in the end, what happened in Georgia with the Democrats now, with a tie-breaking control of the Senate, plus control of the House and a president who is a Democrat, will mean much more for this country. And I think it will test our resilience, and I thought the members of Congress rose to the occasion last night as they finally cut off the debate. Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, I don't know what they think they've done, but I think they've earned themselves a black mark on their name for years and years to come.
And the last thing that was so apparent yesterday is when the president-elect comes out and makes the speech the nation needs before the president.
Yeah, of course. Well, Joe Biden, I thought, rose to the occasion. It was seemed to be just the right man for the job at this time.
In all your years, did you ever see anything like this?
No, not even close. I have seen huge protests, you know, anti-war protests in the 60s and the early 70s, and social justice protests, but nothing like this where, at least in this country.
I was just petrified that it would wind up like Kent State, and it didn't. I will tell you one thing. I give all the police forces and the National Guard credit for when they did get there, and they did slowly move the perimeter out to push people away. They didn't do it with violence. And
right.
That was, I think, probably the thing that I took out of what happened yesterday the most is that, yes, they remained under control. They didn't act absolutely horrible. They actually managed to dissipate and sort of set up a perimeter without injuring more people.
Well, they did not take the opportunity to make a bad situation worse. They did exactly what you say. You know, the person who did not do that was Donald Trump, even in his sort of video statement asking the protesters to go home. He said, "We love you. We understand you. We're with you." That was outrageous. It was really outrageous. It fell far short of what was required.
Well, you and I have been speaking now for a while, and, you know, we'll just have to see what happens over the course. So let's see. Today is the 17th, so we've got 13 more days. It's going to be, obviously, 13 days of the country sitting on pins and needles.
Well, you know, every Thursday morning we say, well, you really couldn't be ending. This is pretty much it. It can't get much crazier than this. And every Thursday it has been that way in this administration. I think the whole country will breathe a sigh of relief January 20th at noon when Joe Biden takes the oath. If Mr. Trump is still in office then, you know, you read the morning papers, lots of calls for him to either be impeached by Congress so he can't run again or to be removed from office. But I don't know that there are members of the cabinet prepared to do that.
Brian, we'll speak to you next week.
Okay, Marshall, take care. Great talking to you.
Brian Ross, Real News here on Robin Hood Radio. You can find Brian also at robinhoodradio.com. On demand, click on Real News with Brian Ross.